And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Genesis 1:31. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23:6. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Psalms 34:8. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. One more round.
Hey, it's Jonathan, and welcome to Epiphany, an audio devotional for all of us on the way to wisdom. In 2001, leadership expert and author Jim Collins came out with his seminal work, Good to Great. Good to Great shifted the tide for how managers and teams and leaders thought about what was holding them back. Built on this premise that the thing that's holding you back is settling for goodness when you can achieve greatness, Collins introduced a whole new paradigm that is still held in high regard for leaders and managers. Now, decades later, it is still foundational to the way that some people approach not just leadership, but their life, hoping to transcend goodness for greatness. 6 years after Jim Collins released Good to Great, in another industry altogether, the NFL, there was another pivotal generational shift about to happen. Jamarcus Russell was a quarterback that was held in such high regard for his natural, raw greatness. In high school, he was considered a phenom and was statistically and categorically transcendent than any other comparable talent. Entering into Louisiana State University, he once threw a football 70 yards from his knees. With the measurements and the talent and the raw ability, he took LSU to success on the field and won countless awards and attention off the field as well. So coming into the NFL draft, he was widely regarded as the no-brainer pick for the number one first overall selection. The Oakland Raiders, my team of choice and heart, decided that they would be the ones to take Jamarcus Russell and was thought to be the pivotal shifting moment for the franchise who had experienced a lot of heartbreak before. Jamarcus Russell was seen as the greatness that would save the team and set them up for success. Instead, 3 years later, Jamarcus Russell wouldn't even be on an NFL roster. He only played 30 games over 3 years. He had almost twice as many interceptions as he had touchdowns. And just a few months after being released, he was arrested. Since then, he still tried to pick up some of the pieces of his looming greatness and make a life that he's proud of. He's been in documentaries. He shared his story. But as the NFL world looks back on that moment, it's recognized for its greatness, but because it was the greatest bust they had ever seen. In 2016, I was leaving my position as a director at a nonprofit where we were doing incredible work because I had gotten the opportunity to have a full ride scholarship in seminary. Now, with this scholarship came the opportunity to work in the campus pastor's office of the school that we were at. And a few weeks into my time there, I realized that a lot of the work was menial. We were being tasked to move stuff from campus to campus. We were being tasked with really scoped input on some of the decisions that were being made after I had, in my opinion, ascended to a real position of prominence and influence in the spaces I had been before that. At the time, I was also commuting an hour and 20 minutes away. I was newly married, and to augment the income that was coming from this part-time position, I was also working another job. My weeks were full of 80-hour weeks of homework and class and commuting and working, and then this internship that was dictating the whole season was filled with what I saw as meaningless, menial tasks. Frustrated, I sat down with my supervisor, who I look back on with more and more gratitude. And Jason sat across from me and asked, "How's it going?" And I walked him through how frustrating it was that I could be doing so much more. I've led campaigns. I've preached to thousands. I've created programs. And here I was, really just being a body in a space. That's what it felt like to me anyways. And he looked at me and he heard my complaints after I had just been in traffic for almost 2 hours. And he said, "This is so good for you." And frustrated, I looked back at him and wondered why he would choose those words to describe the situation. And he said, "You probably have had a lot of great moments in your life. You haven't had to try for greatness. You've been given opportunity and you've risen to the occasion. Your greatness has been affirmed. But what you haven't had is the requirement to show up and put in the work, no matter how menial. What you haven't had is the time when you just are there to contribute because you're part of a team and not because you're talented, special, or any other great defining reasons." He said, "This is going to be the time for you to get your to work on your form, to get your free throws in. None of what you do here over the next 3 years is going to change your life. None of what you do here is going to set you apart in any way, but maybe that's what you need, is to not be set apart, to choose to just do good work, to be a good student, and to be a good intern. Yes, you used to be a director, whatever that means, but maybe this season is about you getting good form, working on good character. And who knows what's going to happen after that?" And he looked at me and he said, "If you don't do this, you can leave. You can go find another more impressive title, more impressive position. But sooner or later, you're going to find out that you're burnt on the edges and undercooked in the middle. Sooner or later, you're going to find that talent can only take you so far. That impressiveness can win you a room, but it won't actually bear fruit." And in that conversation, I realized that the Spirit was giving me an invitation to grow from great to good. A few months after that conversation, which was really a kick in the butt, Jason came to me and asked, "What are your thoughts on Jamarcus Russell?" He knew I was a huge Raiders fan, and so I took it as just a chance for him to make fun of my pain. I told him how incredibly disappointing it was that he turned out the way that he did after all of that potential. And Jason said, "You know that when Jamarcus Russell came to practice, they gave him a DVD with all of the playbook, all of the plays, everything he needed to know about running the offense. And when he came back to practice later on, they asked him, 'Have you watched the playbook? Do you have it down?' And he said, 'Yeah, I watched it. It's good. I'm good to go. I'm ready for the game.' In reality, the disc they gave them had nothing on it. It was a huge test to see whether or not he had the ethic, the commitment, the drive, the humility to bear the burden of his talent." He kind of just walked away after that, telling me that story and left it at that. But I knew what he was saying. He was telling me that this time as an intern would prove to be a trajectory setting time in my life. Whether or not I would buckle under the pressure of my own greatness in my own imagination, or if I would instead choose to be good, to show up. And this is really what we are frustrated by. The fact that the fruit of the Spirit is not that we would become great, impressive, or popular, but that when we keep in step with the Spirit, when we keep to a long obedience in the same direction, what we hear at the end of it is, well done, good. And we would rather have so many other things than just good. This is why we cling to the Collins narrative about transcendence. But here's the thing about goodness. You'll know that you're bearing this fruit when you make the move from great to good, from hype to substance. When you stop seeking to make an impression and start longing to make an impact. Good is good when no one is watching and when everyone is. Good is good when it's good for everyone. Good is something you can be, do, and feel. And the good news is there's always more good that you can be, do, and feel. So why is goodness so hard for us? Part of it is because we can't recognize it when we see it. And the other is because we expect it to be apparent and abundant. But there's an invitation in Scripture that when we look and see that surely goodness follows me all the days of my life, we see that goodness will actually only make sense when we look backwards. When we keep in step with the Spirit, it almost never makes sense looking ahead. It almost never fully aligns with our expectations in the moment. But it's when we look back that we see, actually, the goodness of God has followed me. There's a pattern. There's a trail of good moments. So then when I look into the future, it's about a trust. A trust that in the end, that same God and that same goodness will somehow be woven through all that I cannot see and I cannot comprehend. And that if I am bound by a love for God and a commitment to His purposes in my life and in the world, then all things will work together for the good. So in the moment, what's our invitation? If we look back and see that goodness as follows, and we trust that in the end, God will weave it all together to work for our good, well, then in the moment, what is the invitation? The invitation is to taste and see. If we would lift our head and look around, look back, look within, and look forward, we can see that there is goodness to taste and see. Goodness isn't something that we conjure up, that we contrive, that we produce with our life hacks. It's not something that we can fake no matter how well we can hack the algorithm or curate the life we want to present. It's first the goodness of God that we must taste, that we must train our palate to recognize. And then, we can take the angel at their word. And seeing that Jesus interrupting our life is actually good news, that there is good news for all people, not just those that look like us, sound like us, vote like us, or post like us. But when we take God at God's word, that there is good news. And here's the thing about news. Good news isn't about ascribing to a set of beliefs. It's about events that have happened and will happen in the future. That what Jesus has done, what God is doing, and what will ultimately happen in the end, when all things are made new and made right, that is the good news that we get to taste and see. And when we do, we train our eyes, our ears, our nose to recognize it when we see it. And when we can taste it and relish it and savor it, we can then embody it to the world around us. We can become good news people. To all people, we become good news. telling them of what has happened, how we've seen goodness follow us in our days, and what is yet to come, when every tear will be wiped away, and what isn't healed now will be then. That's the good news that we get to embody when we make that shift from the delusions of our own greatness to the reality of God's goodness. We're then able to be a light on a hill for all to see the good works that God has done. We're able to taste it and savor and relish it, and also to embody it to a world that is desperate for it. This is then what Paul means when he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by the evil and the wounds within you, but let the goodness that you can taste overcome that within you. Do not be overcome by the darkness and the evil around you, but as you enter into that darkness, embody with you a good news that changes the narrative, points people to what's coming, and what they can taste and see for themselves. Ultimately, when we can embody this is when we can become the divine tour guides of the kingdom, pointing out for the world around us where we see goodness, where they can't see it, where they can't taste it, where they can't hold it on with hope. We can, because we can trust that our God has created the world and sees that it is good. So goodness is embedded in creation. And when we walk in step with the Spirit, we become accustomed to seeing and tasting that goodness in our own lives, but also in the world, and becoming divine celebrators of that goodness. It becomes good news for all to see. So today, may you taste and see that the Lord is good. May you be free to remove the pain of pedestals and grow from great to good. May you overcome the evil around you, the wounds within you, with the goodness of God also around you and within you. May you look back at the twists and turns of your life and see that goodness has followed you. And may you recognize that that won't stop today. May you hear the lasting declaration of the Creator, beholding you and the world, this world that you are in, saying it is very good. And may you hear the voice of your Father saying, well done, good and faithful. Thanks for listening. I'm Jonathan, and this has been Epiphany.